We get signal.
What?
Main screen turned on. It's you!
Belong to us. Music, take off every zig. Music for great justice. Yeah, zig.
The bomb. We get signal. What? We get signal. What? We get signal. What? Main screen turn on. It's you. All your base are belong to us.
Take off every zig. Move zig. For great justice. What you say? Zig. What you say? Zig. Somebody said I'll bust the bomb! Main screen, turn on, it's you. Main screen, turn on, it's you. Main screen, turn on, it's you!
Hello and welcome to STFU Radio. I'm Dr. Loxley Tue.
XX Bug Styles XX right here.
And I'm Zipcoder calling in from a payphone.
Woot.
We have no email again this show, so email us at stfuradio@yahoo.com. You must do it. Your life depends on it. So, yes, email us.
Or our life depends on it, one of the two.
Yeah. Okay. So, this show we're going to be talking about the Mexicans illegal immigrant demonstration no working thing, and talk about the Intel Max being able to use Linux, the name of the new Nintendo video game system, making your own gas, and then we are going to talk about art poisoning and installing Mac OS on a non-Intel Mac and forgery. So
wait. When did we decide we were talking about art poisoning again?
Remember, you were going to do a second thing of it.
Uh oh. Forgot. Everybody sue me.
Okay, so I guess we aren't doing art poisoning.
It was false advertisement.
All right, and a few announcements. I recently the STFU the server that we host the STFU radio website on is now a node of binrepnet, sanfran.ca.us.binrepnet or .net for the IRC server, which is pretty neat. So, and also, last show we talked about proxies and like how to stay anonymous on the internet. Well, in the time between this last episode and today, I found a plugin for Firefox called Switch Proxy, which lets you switch between proxies really fast. And it's a little bar in Firefox, and you can just select down, choose like which proxy you want to use, and it's very convenient.
That's what I use it for.
I've been using for a while.
Yeah, I use that at school with Tor, so I can easily switch between being able to browse MySpace and not being able to browse MySpace.
Woot. I've been using that for a while. Since I started using Tor, that's what how I have it set up. So it's pretty nice. It helps link proxies together very nicely.
Word. All right. So, yeah, going on. This next song we're going to... Oh, yeah. Also, we have an opening theme for the song for the show from now on. All Your Bass Belong to Us by Evolution Control Committee. And so we're going to be playing that as the opening theme for every show from now on. So, yeah, and it's a pretty neat song.
Woot.
Yeah, so this next song is called Arabic Mix by DJ Quicksilver. And, yeah, it's good. So, and we will come back with the news.
Thank you.
Welcome back to STAP Radio. First topic of news that we have is about the immigrants demonstrating for illegal immigrant rights. It's kind of funny. I'm in right next to San Francisco, which is like almost the epicenter of this, and really, it was supposed to be like the U.S. like loses millions of dollars today, like everything goes haywire because the Mexicans aren't working, and nothing has really happened. It's like maybe like two mom and pop stores are like closed, but other than that, it's really pretty much the same. Most cities are reporting everything's the same except for less traffic.
Unless you have a landscaping business. You have a landscaping business?
Or if you have a landscaping business, then you should hire Americans.
Yeah.
Who are here legally.
If you have a landscaping business.
Yeah.
Damn immigrants.
Hey, I'm an immigrant.
Well, see, I don't have a problem with immigrants. It's illegal immigrants I have a problem with. If somebody gets over here legally, I'm all for them coming here. But if they want to come here, I expect them to respect the laws of the country they're coming to. So,
listen, if we want to get into this topic, in a sense, we're all legal immigrants, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, to be fair, I don't actually have any problem with illegal immigrants at all, even the ones who are here illegally. I'll just go right out and say, I have a problem with Mexicans. I don't get along with them, and we fight, and they swear at me in Spanish. I like Mexican girls, but the guys don't hate me. The guys really hate me. I don't know why. We get in big fights at school, so today was really enjoyable at school because, to be well known, there were no Mexicans in any of my classes. They were all using the day as an excuse to skip school, so.
Good times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm finding this hilarious. It, like, completely backfired on them. And now they've, like, lost a bunch of supporters they had because all the supporters are annoyed that they did it.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the Mexican anthem, though. The tits and ass, smoking grass, eating nachos, making tacos.
Wait, what?
Oh, you don't know the Mexican anthem? Or the Mexican theme song? So it goes, tits and ass, smoking grass, eating nachos, making tacos.
Huh.
Come on.
I've never heard that before.
It's old school. Come on. It's awesome. It should be my war chant. I'm going to go downtown. I'm in Portland, Oregon. And there's a pretty good size Mexican population here. And they're all downtown. And they made my bus late this morning. Or not this morning, but this afternoon. They made my bus late because they're blocking traffic downtown. And the bus had to go downtown. It was like 20 minutes late. So I'm pretty pissed. So I'm thinking I'm going to go down there and start screaming my Mexican theme song.
No.
Happened.
What about country was it that decided they're going to make their version of the national anthem?
What do you mean? Our national anthem?
They made their own version of it. Like they did it in Spanish, but they did it all weirder. I forget. French.
Oh yeah, didn't they do like?
Yeah, it was a Spanish version of the national anthem.
Yeah, people got pretty pissed about that.
No, they got more than pissed about that. Nobody liked that at all.
Yeah. You want to sing something in Spanish, go back to Mexico. Actually, I don't actually have problems with Mexicans. I just don't like when they come to my country and they keep speaking Spanish and they have like no desire to learn English and they sit around and they're like, yo, me from 13th Street, boy. And they're like gangster lifestyle thieves and stuff. Seriously, I went to JDH. I got busted for some stuff, which we'll talk about later. I was in the juvenile detention hall. And, I met lots of Mexicans in there, and it was funny. They were younger than me, and they were in jail for robbing houses. These kids are like 14 years old, and they're in JDH for robbing houses.
I broke into a house when I was 14 years old.
Okay. But
the guy was there, and it was my friend, so
okay,
I guess it doesn't really count.
So, I don't know. If you're going to come to the country, you know, any country you go to, I came over from Germany, you know. You learn the language, You learn the culture and you follow it. That's why you're there in that country, because you wanted a better life. You don't come here and say, oh, you know, you have to respect my culture where I'm from, you know. That's fine and dandy, but, you know, we don't care about that. You're here in our country. So, I don't know.
Wasn't there speculation of them making Spanish the number one, I'm having a brain fart here, number one language in the United States, and making English number two language?
I don't know. When I call AT&T on that calling card earlier, to hear this message in Spanish, press 1. To hear this message in English, press 2.
If you don't know English, or if you don't know English, how the hell can you distinguish?
Oh well, it says in Spanish. Obviously, I can't repeat it. I sound like an idiot. I don't know Spanish. I got kicked out of Spanish class for being a racist. I'm not even kidding. Was it 8th grade? Screamed at and yelled out of the classroom by the teacher for being a racist.
Well, that's serious.
Yeah, I'm serious. It's pretty bad.
You hater.
I'm not a hater. Well, I am, but... Yeah, okay. Whatever. Next!
Next thing, I'll let Zipcoder talk about this, your issue with the Department of Homeland Security.
Oh, yeah. The Department of Homeland Security is very mad at me. And you don't want the Department of Homeland Security to be mad at you ever for any reason, trust me. I was exploring their networks from my high school. Stupid idea. And so I was doing that at my high school, doing it at my house.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. I was exploring, but I wasn't actually doing it. I was doing publicly available records. That was my recon exploration. And apparently that's enough for them to have probable cause, circumstantial evidence, just because I was footprinting their network, which is nothing. You know, you can legally do that. I did that to the CIA's network today, and you can legally do it, okay? It's not illegal to look at publicly available records. But what they're alleging that I did, which I did not do under any circumstance ever, I'm not this stupid, was break into a server that keeps track of their payroll information, which includes apparently homes and addresses of all these different people that are up and up in the agency, their department. So apparently what they think is that I read all of that, but because I know all of that, I'm like a risk to national security or some crap that they were telling the prosecutor, and I'm being charged with computer trespass. So,
terrorist.
Yeah. I'm not a terrorist. They're charged with computer trespass. They arrested my mom. They didn't find out until my mom went and ratted me out for doing the networking, and then they confiscated. My mom gave them my hard drive and my computer, bitch. And they said that I got into their payroll server, but they had no actual evidence besides the fact that someone logged into their payroll server that was a non-legitimate login. At the same time that my GPG encrypted file had a timestamp update, which is complete bullshit. That's circumstantial evidence, and I didn't do it. So we're taking it to court, and we're taking it to trial, and hopefully I'll win. I've exhausted my college and life savings and everything on my lawyer, so I am dead freaking broke. So
sue them.
Send me money, bastards.
Sue them.
Yeah, I am kicked out of my house as well because I don't want to live with my mom, a person who would rat me out to the government. So, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, bad
poor.
Things have happened. Yeah, I spent a couple days in the detention hall meeting Mexicans and stuff. And then I got out and released, and I'm staying with some friends. So, yeah. So.
Horrible, man.
Yeah, and they weren't letting me go on the internet until my lawyer argued that it was breaking my constitutional right to the First Amendment. And then they argued that as a minor, because I'm 17, that I don't have any constitutional rights, and that's just bullshit because the Constitution considers me, even though I'm 17, a person. So I have the right to my First Amendment stuff, and it was limiting my access to information, my access to free speech. So they had no choice but to let me go back on the internet. So that's why I came back and started posting on my website again and all that other fun stuff. Yeah, so any comments? What's your guys' take on my situation?
Sounds like you just had yourself a load of fun.
Oh, yeah. You know, it'd be nice if I got, like, busted for doing something serious, but I actually did. You know, that'd be a little bit better. I mean, it wouldn't, you know, really be getting busted at all, but, you know, at least getting busted for something that you actually did, that would be, you know, a little nicer, but, you know. That's just the way the cookie crumbles.
That is true, man. Very true.
Yeah, that really sucks.
I had something to say on it, but I done forgot what I was going to say.
I do it all the time. I'm surprised.
All right, so next thing. Apple meets Linux. So recently Apple released this software called Bootcamp, which allows Mac OS X and Windows XP to dual boot on an Intel processor-based Mac. And now some people have tweaked Bootcamp so that it supports Linux, which is pretty damn awesome, and beats running Windows XP on it.
Woot.
That's pretty awesome. Now you can have a triple booting machine. You can throw Linux on it. You can probably throw BSD on it too, obviously. You know, it couldn't be that hard. So throw BSD, Linux, Windows, and your Mac OS all on there. That'd be fun. The only problem I don't like about the Intel Mac stuff is that it's all JIT compiled, so it's a little bit slower. Some a lot of stuff's a little bit slower. Like iTunes is, I don't know. It's fucked up.
But then again, isn't Apple OS considered a variation of Unix?
It's Apple Mac OS X is based off of
BSD.
One of the BSDs. I'm not sure which one. But it's based off BSD. If you go to the, you can get a console or a terminal on it and look at the terminal. It's got all your basic Unix commands on there.
Funny. Going from Linux.
You can port all the software to it from Linux. You can port a lot of the stuff over. So, like they have Kismet. They call it Kismac and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Gotta love it.
Actually, I never really liked the Mac OS because I was used to using it when I was younger, like the OS 9 and OS 8, and I just really didn't like it. And I still, even when Mac OS 10 came out, I still didn't like it, but that's because I hadn't used it. So I had an iBook for about a week and used that, and I really fell in love with the operating system. It's really nice, you know, clean operating system. That was on a Power PC, and so I liked it, though. I really did.
I don't see why, if somebody wants to run Windows or Linux, most people would just get a normal x86 computer, which costs a lot less. So I'm guessing that Bootcamp doesn't actually have that much of a user base.
Well, I don't know. Anybody who's bought a Mac, Intel Mac, could use it. You know, just throw Windows on there.
Yeah, but you think if you get like an Intel Mac, then I think you'd want to run Mac OS on it because you could get something with just as good specs for cheaper. Like if you were to get a normal x86 computer.
Well, if you're, you know, maybe you need Mac OS or you like it and you just like Mac in general. I mean, they're totally switching over. They're not going to be doing the PowerPC stuff anymore. So that's your choice if you want to continue with the Mac OS. But at the same time, you know, a lot of users, you know, they want to still be able to use use Windows and games and crap like that. Or there's some productivity stuff that they don't have available on the Mac. You know, have Windows right there, just turn it off and turn it back on. I don't actually dual boot anything. I've never dual booted anything with anything because, well, it's not entirely. I used to dual boot two Windows partitions, but that's kind of off. But I used to use VMware. Everything works. So.
I got a new marketing technique.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell everybody that you can use MySpace on Linux. I guarantee everybody will switch.
Use MySpace on Linux. If you use it on Linux, you get four more picture upload slots. You can upload more pictures.
It doesn't crash as much. Go figure.
Yeah, MySpace uses... MySpace uses plain text authentication. I was kind of surprised. I didn't realize that it wasn't HTTPS for a second. I was sniffing network traffic, and I see, oh, wait, what's this? My MySpace login, oh, my God. So.
Wait, so someone's sniffing you, the password is just in plain text?
Yeah, everything's transmitted in plain text. So if you're sniffing the network, and I love going to wireless hotspots, sitting there and sniffing, and I wrote my own filter for Etherell, so I can just sit there and get everybody's MySpace logins and go and read all their messages because I'm a dirty little boy, but it's fun.
Bad.
It's especially fun is when they have like 500-something friends and you send out a bulletin. Oh, it's great. My skitty side comes out.
MySpace. Me and Dr. Z2A found you.
I know, he found me. He's a stalker.
Yep.
Okay, nobody...
I don't try, it just happens.
Yeah, he totally stalked me. That was kind of creepy.
Then he tried to...
He sent me this message, fear. And I was like, what?
He tried to ask me if somebody else was standard error, and I said, hell no, man. That wasn't even close.
I don't think that standard error has a MySpace account. I don't think so. Pretty sure he doesn't. Yeah. I don't think he likes MySpace. I don't think he has one. If he does, I haven't found it yet. So.
Well, off track here, but I have a little bit of news that we forgot to mention.
Oh, yeah?
We have a new all-time co-host.
Oh. Who is it? Who is it? I know. I know who it is. I know who it is. I know who it is. It's George W. Bush Jr.
No.
Oh, my God!
No, it's Big Brother. No, it's Zipcoder.
Yeah.
Because
I rocked so much last time that everybody loves me. And I actually, speaking of me and how awesome I am, everybody knows that now I host all the episodes of STFU. STFU episode 12 got off to a slow start in terms of download, but about 10 minutes before I came to start recording the show, I checked how many episodes had been downloaded off of my server. And there's still some that are being grabbed from a mirror from Doctor's slow-ass server. But for the amount of file downloads, complete file downloads, where it completed the entire download, according to my server logs, now get this, 3,111 downloads of STFU episode 12.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's more downloads than you guys got in all of your other episodes combined. Over the last, since, like, December. Remember the last, in episode 12, I talked about how you guys had, like, was it, like, 1,100 downloads or something like that? Between, there was a whole bunch of downloads. There's a whole bunch, but in the 1 month, episode 12 got downloaded more than all the other episodes combined.
Do you know why?
Month.
Right? Do you know why?
Because I was on it. It's because I was on it.
No.
Totally.
Because I hoard
everybody
this
of it. Daniel.
I hoard this show, like, long no tomorrow.
I heard the show, too. I told all of my friends, even my non-techie friends, that, oh, my God, I was co-hosting a radio show, and you better download it. So, yeah, and you hoard it, too. You hoard it everywhere, man, on MySpace. And
oh, I hoard it on many places on MySpace, like on a whole bunch of different boards, different groups. I put a few bulletins, had other people put bulletins. Always good stuff.
Yeah, there were a lot of downloads, so whatever you did worked.
But we still have no fucking email.
I know, seriously. What's up with that? You know, maybe if we change the email address to my email address and tell them to email me.
Fucking nuts. Find our...
I'm like Ron Burgundy over here, you know? Come on, San Diego News Channel, right here. Ron Burgundy. God,
find fucking MySpace and email us there. I don't care. Just email us. Give us something.
Yeah, use smoke signals if you have to. Send us a message. Some smoke signals or something. Just get it to us. Yeah, if you light anything on fire and you start like a big fire or something, we're not responsible. We're not liable. But yeah, smoke signals. They work too.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to read them. I don't know how to read smoke signals. I don't care to. In fact, you know what? We'll get an Indian interpreter.
We'll just look at it and be like, it looks like a bunny.
Hey, the Mexicans might know. They need work.
Hey, that exactly. We'll hire some illegal immigrants to read our smoke signals.
Woot.
Yeah.
Yay.
All right, what was the next actual news item that we had? Oh, and for reference, all of the news articles will now be listed in our show notes, so you can go and look at them, too. So,
this next one is about the new Nintendo video game system. They have named it now, and it is called Wii. which has sparked much talk on many forums and such for the very odd name choice. And yes, you can find many things about it that are quite hilarious. I found this one comic. It's on, and it says, we've come up with a couple final names for the revolution, but I'll be honest, I only think you'll need to see this one. Karen, if I could get the lights, and then next thing. And he's standing there, and it's a screen that says, vagina, with trademark.
Whee!
And then he's like, do we love it, huh? I think we nailed this one.
I'm really glad I'm not a Nintendo fanboy. I used to be the biggest Nintendo fanboy when I was younger. I only played Nintendo games.
Same here.
Nintendo systems. After buying the GameCube and blowing shitload of money on it, I was really pissed off. Same thing with the DS, and I was just, fuck it.
Have you seen, the controllers for that new thing? Like,
I want to take that controller and do, a stress test. With it, like beat it. But I want to do the stress test on one of the designer's heads.
They look like a TV remote, kind of.
No, it's too retarded.
How can you, play a video game with that thing? One-handed?
Well, they have, that add-on thing that has a little joystick, and it's retarded.
Wait, it doesn't have a joystick normally?
I don't think so. I think they have, a little add-on thing that you hold in your other hand, and it's a joystick or some crap like that. I don't know. I saw some pictures somewhere. But
that's pretty damn weird.
It's going to be pretty funny when you have, your joystick and your controller, and they're not, I don't think they're attached or anything, so it's going to be pretty funny when, you can find, your controller, but you can't find the joystick, it's, under the couch or something. So, you can only play, half a game or something. It's really crappy.
You know what I did with my Nintendo DS?
What?
What did you do with it?
I traded it for an 80-gig hard drive.
Yay!
Drive, rather.
I traded mine into a GameStop, and along with, six or seven games. Just bought
I
a PSP
never got a DS.
For my brother's PSP system. Because I love the PSP. I'm serious. It's awesome.
I need to get a PSP.
The games
PSP,
on there.
Parent safe porn.
Yeah.
I need to do it. Don't they have a site dedicated to PSP porn videos?
Yeah, they actually do. There's
a
company. There's a company out there that makes porn videos for the PSP. They make UMD discs of porn. I remember reading about that. That was pretty funny.
I know, I saw
it. I've been down to a cafe here, and they have wireless access. You can go on the internet with the PSP. It has a browser on it. And I went down there, and there's some guy looking at porn sites on this little teeny screen. And, he's trying to hide it from people so people can't see what he's looking at. And it's just so ridiculous. It was just go and buy a freaking computer. Or better yet, go to a porn shop, put down $20 for a DVD, and go pop it in your DVD player. Watching porn on your PSP is not cool.
Someday I'll just take my laptop into a cyber cafe and then just, put, porn full screen and then just be playing it, be facing the wall so everybody can see my screen. Yeah, just see what I'm looking at.
Go into a cyber cafe and ARP spoof the network and make it so it replaces all of the images. You get a whole bunch of images of Tub Girl. So every time an image loads on someone's laptop, just loads up an image of Tub Girl every time.
Make Tub Girl the homepage, everybody's homepage.
You know the best one to do is just ARP spoof Google.com. So that's the most typed in web address, I swear. So whenever they type in Google.com, it loads up Tub Girl. I ARP spoof at my school, Google, but I don't ARP spoof it to anything bad. Well, I do, but nothing like Tub Girl. So
you just go to Goatsy.
No. I don't think Goatsy's around. Is it still around?
I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
It's mirrored, in 5 bajillion places, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I don't know. I know if you go to Wikipedia and type in shock sites and then go to the discussion page, they have, a whole list of sites like Tub Girl and Goatsy and Lemon Party and Detroit Hardcore and...
Yeah, actually, the other day, I met someone who hadn't heard of Goatsy.
Wow.
I was just like, oh my god, what rock have you been living under?
I explained to my teacher the concept behind Tub Girl. Because we were joking about it in class. And she's like, what's Tub Girl? And I had to explain to her the concept of what it was and sort of, you know, I don't know, in a school-friendly manner. it was difficult.
My goodness.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Damn
yeah.
Youngins. I don't have high school anymore, and I'd like to graduate from my college, so I don't think I'm going to mess around on their network too much.
Oh. I'm going to finish my my high school stuff this year. I'm just going to finish and get out.
And then go back?
No. Are you insane? I hate high school. I'm going to go to a community college for 2 years and then go to 2 years to, like, an actual real university after that. Get a computer science bachelor's.
I cannot wait until I get out of high school. It's such pointless, boring bullshit.
You guys say that now, but you'll miss it when it's gone.
Not really. I hate the drama.
Well, I miss the social life, okay? I don't miss getting up early. I don't miss...
I have no social life.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know what you're talking. I don't know what you're talking about. You're not a real nerd. Where's the real thug? Where's the real thug style?
He came out after high school. His popularity went way down, and he quit doing drugs.
Oh, drugs! You guys are terrible. I don't get what the hacker fascination with drugs. Like, half of my hacker friends are all
hacking the mind,
smoking marijuana, and it's like you're killing your brain cells, you stupid fuck.
Not really. I mean,
yeah, you are.
Marijuana really isn't that bad for you.
It's not bad for you. Have you seen the government-sponsored brain scans?
Alcohol is worse.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anybody know how to break into payphone cash boxes?
Here's what you do. You take a big welding thing, and then you go and you take it to the cash box. Then you shoot it and you cut a nice square in the cash box.
I don't know if it'll work. I'm trying to think. There's maybe a crowbar in it or something. Get a crowbar to it, bust it out.
We're hackers. We aren't freakers.
Well, I don't think that have anything to do with freaking either. Busting open a payphone. That's kind
Melt
of
it.
Outside of the realm.
Get
of freaking.
Some really hot liquid.
No, get some thermite.
Yeah, exactly. That's really hot liquid.
Ashbox. There
you go. Hey. Let's get back on topic here. We got.
Yeah.
News.
Okay. What's the next news story?
All right, so next story, about making your own gas. As most people know, gas is up to $3 a gallon now, which is anal rape.
Yeah.
So this guy in Tullahoma, Tennessee, has created a thing that makes do-it-yourself ethanol, which is the kit costs about $1,400, and you can... order it from him, and then so you can make your own ethanol, and then you can put it in with the gas, so you bring your gas price down to $2.40 instead of $3 if you mix ethanol with the gas.
And I'm saving 20 cents per gallon of gas. Yeah.
And that's pretty neat, although you're spending $1,400 for the kit.
Yeah.
So
it
depends how much you drive,
make,
I guess.
If we want to make some gas, we'll just give Doug a burrito. Take it from there. We'll just take it from there.
Excuse me?
Uh-oh.
Excuse me?
So, and also, he's been, the guy has been sending his thing to not only the U.S., but people have also been ordering it from Africa and India and places like that. And most people seem pretty happy with it.
Now, what do they use to make the ethanol? It's just
ethanol, you can also make moonshine with it, although it's against the law. Let's see, it says yeast, sugar, corn, and water are mashed together and left to ferment for 2 days or more. The mash is then brought to a boil with the mash vapors rising into the spill tower, where they are cooled and condensed into ethanol. Of course, you don't add the ingredient that makes ethanol unfit for human consumption. You would find your... making something else. 190 proof shine. you can get in if you don't need any more ethanol. You can just, make some moonshine and get really drunk and then drive with all your gas to work out.
You can get really drunk so you can get over the the fact that you just spent $1,400 on a still.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like something that you don't really need a $1,400 thing for. Like, that sounds like something I could do in my garage on my own.
There are a whole bunch of black people across the street from the payphone watching me. They're actually watching me. It's creeping me out.
Oh, no. Well, if we hear, like, some beating up sound things, we'll know you got mugged and, like, you won't be on the rest of the show.
It'll be a great topic.
Yeah, that'll be great. Zip Coder gets the crap beaten out of him by black thugs.
Just make sure you have the phone pitched to your ear the whole time you're screaming.
I think they just heard me say black really loud. They're really looking at me now.
Owned.
Yeah, I hope not. If they don't stay over there, I'm just going to drop the phone and run.
Okay.
Anyways, next topic.
Okay, so, yeah, Zipcoder's phone or Zipcoder's calling cards failed, so he won't be here the rest of the show. So the last thing we're going to talk about is this documentary called Loose Change, and it was created by some college students. And the theory they present is that the Bush administration was actually behind 9/11 because they and friends of theirs could make lots of money off of it. So at first I completely dismissed it as a conspiracy theory, but now after I saw that and like read up a bit, it seems entirely possible. Like, they say that a missile was fired into the Twin Towers, and explosions, like bombs that were set there already, were set off within. Because basically, it's impossible for apparently it's impossible for a steel building to burn down, they gave examples of all these buildings that burned for like over a day and never burned down that were made of steel that were, and the Twin Towers were stronger than those and it burned down apparently. They also had the video of when the towers fell down, and they were pointing out, like, as it fell down, explosions happening underneath where it was falling, like, before its falling actually got there. And it was, like, pretty interesting. So, although for all we know, terrorists could have just planted those bombs beforehand.
Entirely possible.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting. I recommend that people watch it. We'll put these links in the show notes, but you can find it at tinyurl.com/LLMUC for the first third, /L73FS for the second part, /FY6KX for the third part. And also another website is 911physics.co.nr, which also has some information on it. One thing it doesn't account for, really, is the passengers on the plane. Like, if the plane didn't crash into the towers, then what the hell happened to the passengers? I mean, I guess it's possible that they could have just, like, shot them or whatever, but, yeah, so it's a really good documentary. I recommend that if you all watch it. So, yeah, check it out. Even if the theory, like, is completely not true, it shows just how much the government, like, how little they've told us about it and, like, how many more answers we need. But, yeah, so check out that movie.
Sounds interesting. I have to find a good peer-to-peer to get it from.
Well, I just gave links, so...
Yeah, but...
To download. The movie is free. Like, they're not charging anything for it or anything.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
Yeah.
I retract that last statement.
So, yeah, that wraps it up for the news segment of the show. This next song we're going to play is called Hold Your Head by Biggie Smalls and Bob Marley. And it's pretty good, and we'll come back with how to install macOS x86 on a non-Intel Mac and about forgery. So, yeah, be right back.
When I die, fuck it, I wanna go to hell. Cause I'm a piece of shit, it ain't hard to fucking tell. It don't make sense going to heaven with the goody-goodies dressed in white. I like black Timbs and black hoodies. Gotta probably have me on some real strict shit. No sleeping all day, no getting my dick licked. Hanging with the goody-goodies, lounging in paradise. Fuck that shit, I wanna tote guns and shoot dice. All my life I've been considered as the worst. Lying to my mother, even stealing out a purse. Crime after crime, from drugs to extortion. I know my mother wish she got a fucking abortion. Just my wrist and in this bullshit. Throw the magnum till my head threaten to pull shit. And squeeze until the bed's completely red. I'm glad I'm a worthless fucking Buddha head. The stress is building up, I can't believe it's on my fucking mind. I wanna leave, I swear to God, I feel like death is fucking calling me. But nah, you wouldn't understand. You see, it's kinda like the crack did the pookie. New Jack, except when I cross over, there ain't no coming back. Should I die on the train track like Rainbow and Beach Street? People at the funeral fronting like they miss me. My baby mama kissed me, but she glad I'm gone. She know me and her sister had something going on. I wonder if I died, would tears come to her eyes? Forgive me for my disrespect, forgive me for my lies. Cheek, tell them that my will is weak. I'm sick of niggas lying, I'm sick of bitches hawking. Matter of fact, I'm sick of talking.
Welcome back to STFU Radio. We're going to talk about how to install Mac OS X on a non-Intel Mac now. Now, with this, you're going to need a patched version of install CD for Mac OS X, and you're going to need some pretty specific system requirements. You're going to need a PC with a processor that's at least SSE 2, preferably SSE 3, an ISO image of Mac OS X for x86, preferably pre-patched. If not pre-patched, then you have to patch it yourself. You can find that on pretty much any torrent site. And the rest depends on what operating system you're installing from. There's a way to do it if you have Linux, or in a ways to do it if you are running Windows. We'll cover the Windows version first. For that, you're going to need Partition Magic or something like that, and a boot up disk like Ultimate Boot CD. That's capable of changing the active partition, and you'll need a disk part, which I think comes with Windows XP, but I'm not quite sure. So you're going to burn the ISO to a DVD plus or minus R. For some reason, RW doesn't work. And so open up Partition Magic or another partitioning program, and you're going to resize one of your partitions so there's at least 6 gigabytes of unallocated space, because Mac OS X needs 6 gigabytes at least. So then you're going to want to run diskpart. So you can type in from command line diskpart, or you can do it from the run thing under the start menu. And you should see a prompt. And that prompt will say select disk. And then you should put zero, or yeah, you should type select disk zero, and then press enter. Type create partition primary, and then ID equals AF, and enter. And then type select partition two, and then press enter again. And then type in active, and then press enter. You'll want to replace like two with the partition number of the partition you just created, and then also the disk with the, I said disk zero, but zero is just your first disk. If you want to install it on your second disk, you'll select disk one. And yeah. And then you can put the installed DVD in your drive and reboot, and then you will be able to install OS X fairly easily. So that's the Windows way. There's also a way to do it with Linux. What you're going to need is with Linux is you're going to need the dead moo image, which is it's usually called tiger-x86-flat.img, and you'll get that by, you can either search for that on a torrent site or something, or you can search for VMware files for patched Mac OS X Tiger Intel on a torrent site, and then it'll come with something that includes that file. So then you can either, you open up a terminal, and then you should be in the directory with the image in it. And then, in the window, type dd bs equals 1048576. And then it should be, you should type, a space after that, and if equals /tiger-x86-flat.img space of equals /dev/HDA. Assuming you want to install on your first hard disk, if you want to install on your second, HDB, HDC, etc. And this is going to wipe your entire drive, and it'll take a while, about 9 minutes, so on a fairly old computer. So, you don't want to do that to the partition or to the hard drive that your operating system is currently on, unless you're on a live CD, in which case then you can do it to anyone. And then and this will work out of a live CD. So you can make sure you don't have anything on the drive that you want to keep, of course. And after that, just reboot, and Mac OS X should be, assuming that you're booting from that hard drive, Mac OS X should be there. Now, they'll get a login screen, and you won't know the password, though. It's because it was created by dead moo, but you can change his password. You're going to want to reboot the machine again. You're going to type in, you're going to hit a button at the Darwin screen, and then type -V and hit enter. And then at the command prompt, you'll want to type sh/bin/sh, and then passwd curtis, and then you're going to want to change it to whatever password you want, and then passwd dead moo, and then change to whatever password you would like for that one. So then reboot another time and use the -x option, and everything should boot just fine. And you'll have the password and all that, and you'll have x86 Mac OS on your
normal computer.
Woot.
Yeah, so that's how you do that. Try it out and enjoy. And I'm not responsible if you wipe your entire hard drive.
It's pretty elite.
Yeah, okay, return. Forgery.
So, I've been reading this book. It's by Frank William Abagnale Jr. He's my hero. It's called The Art of the Steal. And, you know, Frank William Abagnale Jr., he's the con man. He's the greatest con man of our time. I mean, I guess that's nothing really to be proud of, but he's done some pretty amazing shit. Anyways, in the book, The Art of the Steal, he talks a lot about forgery, how he got started, and now fixing the United States fraud count, and how he went about it, you know. It starts off with a little bit of a story, you know, how he got incarcerated to a maximum security federal prison and conned his way out of it. He conned his way out of the maximum security prison. How the hell do you do that?
Anyway, pretty neat.
Yeah, he is. Guy was pretty fucking amazing. Well, anyways, so what he did after he got out of prison, you know, he did what any ex-felon would do, would try to get a job, start his right path back out in the society. But it didn't quite go his way because he had that record. So eventually he went to his parole officer and said, you know, I want to start preaching about what I know and helping to fix the problem. And, you know, he knew about check fraud very, very, very well. So anyways, as it goes, kind of the intro to it. So he started giving seminars for banks, but he always told himself, you know, if I'm ever going to do a seminar for anything government-related, whether it be police, FBI, whoever, that it's going to be free, free of charge. So he still does seminars for FBI free of charge, but he charges an arm and a leg to do seminars for anybody else. And in the book, you know, it says fraud counts for 3/4 of all money loss in the U.S. every year, which is approximately $400 billion a year. That's just
Ooh.
Loss. He's saying, you know, if you could stop it for 2 years, if we could stop fraud for 2 years straight, that would wipe out everything. Wipe out the national debt, it would wipe out everything. We'd be clean. We'd be a better country, I guess, if that's ever a possibility. But here's another thing. Why fraud's so big is because 98% of forgeries go free. 98% of them, they just let go. They might spend like 3 months to 6 months tops, but that's it. And for a forger, you know, making $100,000, whatever, off of check fraud, 6 months in a minimum security prison isn't going to be shit for them. But, you know, and it also goes into detail about how the U.S. has worse currency security compared to the rest of the world, or most of the rest of the world, where they have watermarks.
Yeah. We stopped, like, backing it by gold, didn't we? Like,
what's that?
That, like, pretty much killed its value for our currency.
I didn't catch what you just said.
Oh, like, recently the U.S., we stopped backing our money by gold, and now pretty much our currency has no real value, because it used to be like every dollar bill that you had was backed by some gold, some, like, actual gold sitting in some federal, like, place, but now they got rid of that gold, and our money really actually has no value. The only value our money has is because everybody accepts that this money has value.
Right.
So it's kind of like you're saying something is true to just, yeah.
Well, until recently, you know, they just came out with the new $10 bill. Until recently, every other country had about, you know, 10 to 20 different security features on their currency. We had about 5.
Holy
until recently.
Crap.
Yeah, and whenever he was saying, you know, the scam artist or the whoever, the fraud artist, would wait until something new came out, like this new $10 bill. People aren't familiar with it. So if you make, say, a fake $10 bill right now and try to pass it to local stores, they aren't going to know what the fuck to check for. You know, and they use these pH testers, those little, you know, you see them mark the dollar bill with whatever that pen is. All that's doing is testing the
pH level. Or what?
Yeah, that's all it's doing is testing the pH level. So if, say, I went to a stationery store and bought a ream of paper that was, say, rice paper, it had a high pH level, you know, and I made a couple $100 bills, fraudly, and they marked it with that, shit, go right in the drawer. No questions asked, because that pen tells all. So, you know, he's talking about all these loopholes and how we make it so, so easy for this fraud to happen. It's amazing. Just the things you wouldn't even think about. It's just so amazing. You know, he tells about different people's stories, whatnot, how it happens. But, page 26, chapter 2, starting out, I'm going to read a little thing right here. It's like two paragraphs. But it shows a good example of how easy it has, or it was, until he started getting involved in it. Anyways, starting chapter 2 here, looking for Mr. Goodcheck. A few years ago, a man double parked his rental car in Miami and was given a parking ticket. He was from Argentina, visiting on vacation. He slipped the parking ticket in his briefcase, and it went back with him to Argentina. While he was unpacking his luggage, he came across the ticket. The fine was $20. He searched around in his pocket and found that he still had some leftover U.S. currency. He stuffed a $20 bill and two singles in the envelope, along with the ticket, sealed it, and mailed it back to the Miami city clerk. When it got to the city clerk, When the city clerk opened the envelope, he noted that the man had overpaid by $2. Instead of sending him the $2 back, the city mailed him a check for $2. When the man opened the envelope and found the check, he thought it was too good to be true. He took that check, scanned it into his computer, and changed the amount to what he deemed a more appreciative refund. $1.45 million. He printed out the corrected check and deposited it in the Bank of Argentina. The city of Miami dispenses many checks for more than $1 million, and so it went. It was paid without question. Because we don't have extradition rights in Argentina, the man got away with it. He became a millionaire from a $20 parking ticket.
Holy shit.
So, yeah, I mean, just shit like that, that's incredible. You wouldn't even think a $20 parking ticket. You're losing money off of it, but nope, the guy made $1.45 million. But, you got anything to say on that?
Just whoa. Like, that's pretty fucking amazing.
You think that you couldn't write a big book on that, but Jesus Christ, he goes into such detail about everything. Frank William Abagnale is the fucking man. So we have a new mission. We're going to stop fraud. Everybody that listens to the show, we're stopping fraud for 2 years, damn it. Only if you live in the U.S. If you don't live in the U.S., keep on going with your fraud. I don't care. But, and you know, he talks about this guy that went by the name of Santa Claus. He ran this ring of retail fraud. And he'd always try to beat the new security systems made by, you know, say like Target. You know, all their new things. So he'd incorporate something, making his own UPC codes, his own anything. And he got away with it so long. He made, I can't remember how much he made off of it. He finally got caught one day when he was like 67 or older. I forget.
How old was he when he started?
I don't remember that either.
Well, was it like really young or was it like 62?
I can look at it if you want me to. It might take me a minute. Should have noted the page it was on. Might have made it easier. And you know what's even more amazing?
What?
Is that check fraud has more loss than, say, bank robbery or any other thing put together. Anything put together that you could imagine, bank fraud has outdone that. Or check fraud, rather.
Yeah, because, I mean, with frauders, like, you don't, when you do something with check fraud, you don't feel, it doesn't, like, feel like you're actually stealing something. Like, if you go and, like, shoplift or hold up a bank, then it's like you're obviously, like, stealing something in your mind. But, like, with check fraud, it's just like you're editing some checks, and then it's just like the money just magically appears. So I guess people don't really feel like they're really stealing anything as much, and it doesn't, like, get on your conscience that much.
All right, here's the Santa Claus guy. Or his gang of thieves was known as the Victor Gang, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard of the Victor Gang, but they've probably not heard much detail about it. So anyways, where is this here? A few years ago, there was a guy who drove all over the country in a white Cadillac who had his own inventive scam. One of the big store chains would regularly put its fine jewelry on sale for 50% off. This guy would anticipate these sales and go in and buy the necklace or bracelet at full price. The chain had an arrangement where if you bought an item of jewelry just prior to the sale, you could come in with your receipt and would give you the difference back in cash. First, he would take his receipt to a local copy shop and make 200 copies. Then he'd return the necklace and hit the road. Whenever he encountered another store in that chain, he'd bring in one of his fraudulent receipts and get a refund on half the price. So it doesn't really tell when he started. Blah, blah. Moving on with that. So I had to note the king of receipt scams. It would be Randall Victors. Victors is a 62-year-old Florida man and an Air Force veteran with a generous white beard. He goes by the name of Santa Claus. It's an unlikely nickname. Since he was the ringleader of the crime group composed of as many as 20 thieves known as Victor's Gang, for more than 30 years. Carried out an elaborate refund scam that was relent on counterfeit receipts and UPC labels. In their spare time, the gang indulged in gift receipt refund or fraud and insurance fraud, once collecting insurance claims 6 times on the same Corvette. Say anything else about them interesting? They made as much as $4,000 a day during busy shopping periods. Anyways, it tells how Santa Claus, you know, always found that big stores like Target were always trying to come up with new ways to defeat their scams, and he'd always find a way to countermeasure it. Always. He'd steal, you know, they had their own printing receipts. So he would steal the receipt paper that they used and had a receipt-making thing in the trunk of his car and just went out to his car after stealing the receipt paper and did that. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting shit, man. Good book, The Art of the Steal.
Damn. That's pretty crazy. Book,
beginning of the book, you know, the first few chapters, it talks about the security measures and placed in checks and different paper types. You wouldn't think, you know, paper, just a plain piece of paper could have so many security features if you deemed need. But it's just so amazing the different security features that you could have, you know, where crooks have gotten so good, or frauders, call them what you will, you know, where they take acetones and wipe out a check and, you know, put their own shit on there. And they got security features for that now. They got security features for everything. It's amazing. But they're still finding ways to beat it. I actually had a buddy that, he's a real big fucking idiot. He's not a buddy of mine anymore, but as the story goes, he went to the Detroit Electronic Music Festival one year, printed up, I think, $100 in cash on his computer, took it out there. He bought drugs off a drug dealer with it.
And a drug dealer's not going to know anything to check for.
That would be my first victim.
Yeah.
Somehow I got back to the police that it was him, and they came and confiscated only one of his computers. They never checked for more than one computer. So he got away with it. Because he only did it from the computer in his upstairs bedroom or whatever it was. I don't know. So he got away with it.
Yeah, it just shows how easy it is to, like, do all that stuff.
It's amazing. It really is. This book shows a lot of flaws in the U.S. currency and different exchange. You know, and how foreigners even will anticipate big events like, say, the U.S. Olympics or the Olympics period. I guess they aren't really the U.S. Olympics if it's worldwide. But they'll anticipate events like that and go there because there's so much money being passed around and everything that people aren't going to take the time to check for everything, every little detail. Well, let's see, what else was I going to talk about on that, damn it? Just had something else. I don't know, you got any input?
Nah, you're covering it pretty well.
Thank you.
And I don't know that much about it, so I have researched about driver's license forging, but that's not like money forgery, really.
Well, yeah, it is. It's forgery in a way.
Yeah, they use well, I guess they don't really use similar things. Driver's licenses use like holograms and UVs. I just know about the California ones, and you have to print them off on a special thickness in a different kind of paper called Teflon. Yeah, those are pretty easy to do, too. Pretty much the hard part about those is the UV, which is for those of you that don't know, a UV is it's a image that I think it's like the California seal or something like that. And you ever see a bouncer outside of a club with a black light, and they're putting it over driver's licenses, and the black light lets them see that the UV is there. And if it isn't, then you get arrested.
Woot.
Yeah, California is one of the harder states to do. Not all states have UV on theirs. Pretty much everyone has. I think one state doesn't have holograms, but all the others do. But holograms are pretty easy to make. You just need to get the right powder mixture for your state and then print it off on an Alps printer.
I don't think that Michigan has holograms. What they have is what the hell is that one ink? It's the ink where it reflects with light.
I don't know.
Like, if you turn it, it has, like, a little bit of glitter, and you can see it better. Whatever the hell it is. It's the same stuff that's used on the $1 bill where it's that green ink. If you flip it, it turns black. Start to turn it.
No clue. I don't know anything about any states other than California.
Well, start learning about Michigan, damn it. I'm not 21 yet.
The information's readily available on the internet.
Well, you know what's funny around here, I've been noticing lately, is that a lot of big places, big chains, like Mobil, for instance. You know, you go to buy cigarettes there, they ask for your ID, and they run it through their register. I don't know what they check for.
Oh, for the barcode.
Well,
right.
Yeah, but what information does that barcode really have?
All the information that's written on your driver's license, I believe. Like your name, age, and all that stuff.
And I know there's a segment...
The barcodes are pretty easy to make with a computer. There's barcode generating programs that you can just put in the information and it'll make one for you.
Yeah.
So.
don't you have to have something that'll read your barcode and then put it on there? I mean, I know there's
You have to put it off on a special way, but
there's a video. There's a video I watched. I believe I found it through Ben Rev somewhere. And, some guy that made his own barcode reader.
Oh yeah, Acidus.
That
was on Hack TV.
Was that? I thought that's what it was, but I wasn't sure. Well, that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's called Stripe Snoop. It's a pretty neat piece of software, but it doesn't help you write them. I think just read them.
That's still interesting, nonetheless. Still cool, man.
Yeah.
You know, Frank William Abagnale, since his release of Incarceration, that's what he's been doing is trying to stop fraud. And he goes around designing different types of security features for paper for companies. You know, they'll actually call him up and say, look, we need you to help us secure this better. And he'll actually go and do it. A lot of our security features on checks nowadays.
Developed by him?
Hold on. I thought a fucking cop was pulling up behind me. Anyways, a lot of the security features you find on checks nowadays are incorporated by Frank William Abagnale Jr. You know, and the stronger it gets, I'm sure this new $10 bill that they just made, a lot of it was from him. I mean, I'm not sure exactly when this book was printed. I was trying to look for it earlier, but didn't find it. But I'm sure since this book, he's done a lot more. You know, I just hope... It's just mind-blowing. It really is. Well, I think that's pretty much all I have to say on that. We're supposed to have more guest speakers that were speaking on this specific subject. Cough, cough, majestic, cough, cough.
But apparently he was nowhere to be found for the past 2 weeks, so...
Well, I found him last Thursday or Wednesday, and we were trying to...
You mean, like, real life, face-to-face found him, or...?
No. No, it wasn't like, where's Waldo?
Well, he's living in the same area as you now, isn't he? So.
Kind of. I mean, I don't get down that way much. I don't even think my car would really make it down that way. But, nonetheless, we were trying to test out the three-waying issue so that we could just three-way them onto the conference. For some reason, that turned out really bad somehow. Now, I saw him on today, and I was trying to tell him, you know, we're recording today. You want to get on there? He never answered me whatsoever. But, hey.
Okay. All right. So, you ready to go on?
Yep.
All right, this next song is called Ridin' Dirty by Chamillionaire. It's pretty good, so enjoy.
They see me rolling, they hating, patrolling and trying to catch me riding dirty.
See me lean, I'm tense, so it ain't easy to be seen. When me see me ride by, they can see the gleam. My shine on the deck and the TV screen. Riding with a new chick, she like cola. Next to the PlayStation controller, is a full clip in my p. Send a jacker into a coma. Girl, you know I'm crazy like crazy. Bone just tryna bone, ain't tryna have no babies. Ride clean as hell, so I pull in ladies. Laws on patrolling, you know they hate me. Your music turn all the way up into the maximum. I can speak this. Try to jack for some, but we packing something and we'll be half of them. We'll have a locked up in the maximum security cell. I'm gripping old music loud and I'm tipping slow. Twin steady twisting like hit this dough. Behind and it's in his throw. The windows down, gotta stop pollution. City changed, like who is that producing? That's the plan skills when we out and cruising. Got warrants in every city except Houston, but I still ain't losing.
They see me rolling, they hating, patrolling and trying to catch me riding dirty. Trying to catch me riding dirty, 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 tr
patrolling and trying to catch me riding dirty. 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 My music's so loud, I'm swinging. They hoping that they gon' catch me riding dirty. Trying to catch me riding dirty. Trying to catch me riding dirty. Trying to catch me riding. Trying to catch me riding dirty.
Smoking, holy, cause I really can't focus. I gotta get the home with the purple scope. This big old scourge or swerve, all up in the curb. And been sipping on the Hennessy, singing the gin again. It's in again, we in the wind. Doing 100 while I puff on the blunt. I roll another one up, we living like we ain't doing. I got a bottle up in my right hand, what's in my left, freezing my. Running up the tree, green leaves and all. Coming pretty deep, me and my dog, Joe. Like a nigga in the back streets, wondering about the 6 pounds that I got heat. Live shots to the block, we creak, creak. Pop, pop, honk, see me on a low key. With no regard for the law, we dodge, I'm like, come on. But I won't get caught up and brought up on charges for none of y'all. Keep a car in a bloody spot, with a if you want the popping dog. Ready or not, we in the air, cause they bone in chameleon.
They see me rolling, they hating. Patrolling and trying to catch me riding dirty. 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 My music's so loud, I'm swinging. They hoping that they gon' catch me riding dirty. Trying to catch me riding dirty. Trying to catch me riding dirty. Trying to catch me riding. Trying to catch me riding dirty.
So I try to let you go. Turn on my blink of light and then I swing it slow. Set for show. They think they know that they catching me with plenty of the track control. So they get behind me trying to check my tags. Look at my rear view when they smiling. Thinking they'll catch me in the wrong. I keep trying. Keep denying that it's racial profiling. Houston, Texas, you can check my tags. Pull me over, try to check my slab. Glove compartment, gotta get my cash. Cause the crooked cop try to come up fast. And being the baller that I am, I talk to them, giving a damn about I'm not feeling my attitude. When they realize I ain't even riding dirty. But you'll be leaving with an even madder mood. I'ma laugh at you and then I have to cruise. Jamming number two on some old DJ screw. Can't arrest me, plus you can't sue. This is a message to the law, tell them we hate you. We tough, so tell them that they should have known. Tip it down, sitting crooked on my chrome. Booking my phone, finding the chick I want to bone. Like they couldn't stop me, I'm about to pull up at your home.
They see me rolling, they hating. Patrolling and trying to catch me riding dirty. 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 My music's so loud, I'm swinging. They hoping that they gon' catch me riding dirty.
Welcome back to STFU Radio. We're going to go into some plugs now, where we tell you about shit and expect you to go use it and buy it and all that good shit.
Yes.
So, yeah. My first plug goes to Esperanto, which is it's a language I heard about recently. It's designed like to be easy to learn for people to speak to each other who speak different native languages. And I was learning it, and it's pretty easy to learn. I've taken a year of Spanish, and I've spoken English all my life, so most of the stuff is pretty similar to that. So it's pretty easy to learn. And, yeah, it's pretty cool. I don't have a link offhand, but Google it. It's spelled Esperanto, and it's a pretty neat little language. So, yeah, check that out. You got any folks?
Just what I was just mentioning earlier, The Art of the Steel by by Frank William Abbott Jr., that's a great book. Check that out. Buy it. Read it. Pirate it. I don't care. It's not mine. And don't fraud it, damn it.
Okay.
See, Slackware. I just recently installed Slackware for the first time. My first real distro I actually installed instead of just used a live distro. So that was pretty cool. Like the plug Slackware, it's pretty elite.
Have you installed Slapkit or Swared on it yet?
Excuse me? Would you just call me?
Have you installed a package management system on it yet?
I have no idea. I just said fuck it. I did the full install because apparently with Linux, when you go into the newbie setup,
It's actually the advanced expert setup.
That's why you choose the menu setup.
Yeah, but
the newbie setup doesn't allow you to do all the shit you want to do when you want to, like, do complicated shit.
But like I'm saying, no. The newbie menu, I'm telling you, man, that should have been labeled expert or advanced. Because I didn't know what the fuck
happened. Or it should have been labeled hard as fuck because it doesn't let you do anything.
Oh, it asks you every goddamn package you want on there. Everything. I don't know what half the shit is. I have names like AR2ZR.ZIP. I don't know what the fuck that is.
You selected newbie?
Yeah. It asks me everything.
Well, it's all categorized, isn't it? So.
Yeah. But then again, I don't know what's dependent on what either. So I'm like,
Well, it'll fill in all the dependencies for you, so.
Right. But it doesn't. Damn it, never mind.
How about we just establish that you're a complete Linux noob and, yeah.
It was established a long time ago. I think that was established in episode 1 of STFU Radio.
Word. Yeah, Slackware is a pretty awesome distro. There's other package management shit that it doesn't come with package management, but you can get it, like, other ways. And all my, like, it's especially good for older comps, and, like, all my comps or computers that are, like, 7-plus years of age, I put it on. So, yeah.
Well, I have to get with you later on that, then.
see, my next plug goes to Sage, which is a plugin for Firefox. It's a RSS reader or XML feed reader, and it makes it really easy to like look for news and stuff like that, which is pretty awesome. I was like looking for news before the show to cover on here, and normally I go to like news.google.com and all these websites and look. I just opened up Sage and I was like clicking through and I'm like, that looks interesting. Okay, that looks interesting. And it's really fast and easy. And it, like, depending on the RSS feed, it like you can get a little preview and like, and it just is a sidebar in Firefox, which is pretty cool. So check that plugin out because you'll probably like it a lot.
Got another plug. Was at my buddy's house that I haven't talked to in a long time. He kind of moved roughly an hour away. Anyway, so visiting with him, and he was showing me this program called Bleach. It's, I'm not sure if it was a proxy judge or a proxy finder. Regardless, it was pretty leap. It's called Bleach.
Nice.
Yeah. It was pretty nice. It's pretty fast. It compiles really good. Doesn't take very long. Doesn't take very many resources. I'm like, fucking, what was I using before that? Using, Proxy Hunter, I believe. Where, you know, you could give it a block of IPs to search through. I gave it, I don't know. I put in a block there, and 3 days later it still wasn't done. And it took up, like, all my system resources to do it.
Damn.
So I said, fuck it. But Bleach works pretty good. You got another one?
Nope, I'm pretty much done.
Okay, waiting. Okay,
okay.
Also, www.hidemyass.com. Pretty elite. Yeah, it's a pretty elite anonymous proxy.
Oh, nice.
It's web-based. So I don't know how secure it really is, but whatever. It still has a great name to it. HideMyAss.com. Classic. Classy.
Food.
So if I use Tor and go to that, I'm all good.
Nice. Oh. Alright, so that pretty much wraps it up. You have anything else? Or?
We gotta go into shout soon.
Alright, cool. So this next song is called Lake of Fire by Nirvana. So, yeah, it's pretty good. Check it out. And we'll come back with shouts after that.
call the home. Try to find some place to rest their bones. All the angels and the devils try to make their own. Where the bad folks go when they die? They don't go to heaven where the angels fly. Go to when they go, fire and fry. See them again, tell the Father you
to STFU Radio. We're going to go into shouts now and then wrap up the show. So my first shout goes to Vaz, and because he was cool, and he's a guy I met who lives around San Francisco, and he was helping me find news for the show before we recorded, which was pretty cool. Yeah. Shouts to him. Shouts to PFI's girlfriend, because she's really hot.
Woot.
And if you ever saw a picture of her, you would agree with me.
No, I don't know your take on women. You never show me pictures of any of the women. You tell me you're hot. You just say, trust me.
Okay, and then, my shout goes to Ale Faeus. I went into #D-U on FNET, which is a hacking channel, and I've never been there before, but he was the guy who was telling me about the 9/11 stuff, which was pretty interesting, and it gave us a nice topic for a while. Shouts to him. He's pretty cool.
Ooh.
Yeah. Your turn.
Oh, okay. I'd like to give shouts to Strom Carlson for letting us use his AstroSpecs to record the show, seeing as the show probably sounds 100% better than the rest of them.
Oh, yeah. Telefreak was really screwing up last night, so we didn't get to record on that. And then, so Strom's letting us use his box. Moi, thank you, Strom.
Yes, very much so. You are a noble guy. Shouts to Focal Point Blair for just being himself. I've known him for a while in real life. He's a pretty cool guy. He's going through a rough time, but he's a pretty fucking awesome guy. Who else do I got here? Got a few more, I think. Maybe I don't. Oh, shouts to Black Ratchet just for helping me out past couple weeks with some questions I had. Shouts to Dr. Z2A for helping me install Slackware, because I'm a Linux fucking noob.
No problem.
What else did I have here? Oh, and shouts to my teacher today. In fact, kudos to him. Because I asked him if he'd write me a recommendation letter to try to get into Michigan Tech University. And even though he said he only does it for people who have a 3.5 grade point average or higher, because I have like a 2.7. I know. Whatever. But he said he would write me one. He's pretty fucking cool. He's an awesome teacher. Mr. Salem, there we go. I was going to say I don't remember his name. So,
nice.
Oh, and shouts to my dad especially for encouraging me to further my education and helping me out with it. Then I got a few fuck yous, since we used to incorporate fuck yous instead of shouts. So, my first fuck you goes out to Majestic for being a noob. He's an uber elite noob.
For sure.
I love him, but I hate him all at the same time for not showing up on the show, damn it. Just because he said he doesn't have unlimited, or because he only has unlimited incoming. He doesn't want to pay for his outgoing. Which, then again, we are going on an hour and a half of the show, so I guess I don't really
and long him. Distance.
Yeah, I don't really blame him, but fuck you anyways. Just for tips and giggles. Who else do I have fuck yous to? Yeah, I think that... Oh. Fuck those guys that were staring at Zipcoder too.
Yeah, he wanted me to say that they mugged him, and he couldn't be on the show for that reason.
And
oh yeah, speaking of Zip.
Yes.
Speaking of Zip, he told me he's starting this Hacker Digest thing. That's I guess it's weekly or something like that. And it's I guess it's like a newsletter. So, and by the time we have this episode out, it should be the Hacker Digest should be out. So you'll want to check that out. It's probably on his website, www.pandora-security.com. We got a link button to it on the bottom of the STFU radio site. So, yeah. You'll want to check that out.
Most definitely. And always shout out to Zipcoder and Standard Air for just being who they are, just for being lead. And another fuck you to Department of Homeland Security, because they're trying to take down my homeboy, and I don't like it.
Word.
And, you know, I think that's about it for me.
All right. Okay, so I got to run, so, yeah, we'll end the show here. This closing song is called Wheel in the Sky by Journey.
Woot.
Which is pretty awesome. So, yeah, enjoy it, and I'll see you later on when we next do a show.
And
everything will be not for a month.
Remember, everything is always on default. Oh, wait, no, that's default radio. I'm sorry.
Wrong show.
Oh. Shouts to them, too, default radio, because they were elite, and I miss them.
Yes.
But stay tuned to next episode because we got a special guest speaker. Cough, cough, maybe from Default Radio. Who knows? Who knows who it could be next time?
Yes. So be sure to listen in. And STFU, and we will be out now.
Later.
Goodbye.
to me.